and I represent the debtor in this case, who's also the appellant, Mr. Michael S. McCarthy. I'm happy that we're able to hold this hearing despite the shutdown. They didn't lock us out. The issue in this case is, does the Chapter 13 debtor have standing under 11 U.S.C. Section 522H to avoid an involuntary lien on his exempt homestead property, where the trustee has not yet acted to avoid the lien? Your Honors, I respectfully ask that you reverse the bankruptcy court's finding that the debtor does not have standing to pursue an avoidance action against the lien encumbering his homestead. Now, the bankruptcy court, I think, is correct in saying that there is no general rule giving Chapter 13 debtors avoidance power, all of the avoidance powers of the trustee. For this proposition, they cite the In re Merrifield case, which says that, generally speaking, in the Eighth Circuit, there is no standing for Chapter 13 debtors to bring avoidance actions. However, there's a more recent case by the Eighth Circuit Bankruptcy Appellate Panel, the In re Racing Services, Inc., which says that debtors do have general standing in this matter. But, you know, that's not what this case is about.
I think it's better to cite the Eighth Circuit's Racing Services, because that's the
the last one.
Yeah, that's a nice way of saying it.
Okay. Well, at any rate, we don't need to get into the question of general whether or not Chapter 13 debtors have general standing. The court today doesn't have to answer that issue in order to decide this. The Merrifield case and many other cases cited by the bankruptcy court for the proposition that debtors don't have general standing recognize a statutory exception to the no standing rule, and which arises under 522H and has been borne out in case law.
Can I just ask you, what was the avoidance action under 545? What was the act that was not done to perfect the lien in the house?
The lien was, in fact, perfected in the time before filing the bankruptcy. Our legal theory is that Section 545 allows avoidance because the lien is, in fact, unenforceable due to the Minnesota homestead exemption and the Kroll line of cases, so that it be avoidable under 545 based on its unenforceability rather than its lack of perfection. So in the Merrifield case and many other cases cited, they recognize the 522H exception, which, you know, is a statutory grant of avoidance powers to Chapter 13 debtors in certain limited circumstances. There's really five tests for that. The DeMara case, I think, says those factors best, and much of the other case law has followed them. First, the transfer must be involuntary. Second, the property must have been exemptable by the debtor. Third, the trustee did not avoid the transfer. Four, the debtor seeks to exercise one of the avoidance powers enumerated in 522H. It doesn't allow debtors to use all avoidance powers, just certain ones. And finally,
the debtor didn't conceal the property.
The debtor didn't conceal the property. Thank you. I went out of order. The debtor, in this situation, the debtor meets all five of these factors and I think has standing to bring an avoidance action. The merits of the avoidance action, you know, are probably to be decided at a different day, but a finding that he doesn't have standing is legally and factually inaccurate. The first factor, whether or not the transfer is voluntary, is, I think, the most difficult one. There's not a whole lot of case law interpreting what is a voluntary and what is an involuntary transfer. In the In re Dixon case, the Sixth Circuit Appellate Court found an involuntary transfer was one that occurred by operation of law,
Well, do we even get there, though? I mean, we don't necessarily, in fact, we can't really decide.
This wasn't on the merits of 522H, right, but rather the standing.
Whether or not they even have standing. Right. Well, but 522H applies to give standing if and only if the transfer was involuntary. And then you get to the 545 question of whether it's enforceable or not. So,
but 522H never even was addressed, correct? I mean,
Not in the order. The pleadings make it explicit that we were proceeding under 522.
Okay, that was going to be my question. Procedurally, how did this come about? Was it oral? Do you have oral argument on the motion?
There was an evidentiary hearing. It came at the same time as an objection to confirmation on which they raised the Brevik Law. He was pro se debtor's. He's a divorce attorney who represented the debtor beforehand. It was an evidentiary hearing. He objected to confirmation based on a number of factors. And the debtor sought to avoid this attorney's lien against the debtor's mobile home. So there was an evidentiary hearing for that. The adversary proceeding was filed under Section 522H and 545 and, you know, makes that pretty explicit.
So that was explicitly raised in
at trial.
In the adversary proceeding and at the argument.
Right. Well, she found that there was no standing to bring the adversary.
But she never apparently reached 522H. That's why I was asking if it was ever presented to her.
So it seems to me the question is, who should apply the five-factor test? Should it be us, or should we simply send the case back for the trial court to make that determination?
Well, I would argue.
Can we apply those five factors without making factual findings that weren't made by the bankruptcy court?
No, you wouldn't be able to.
Remand is what you're seeking.
Yeah, I'm seeking a remand.
But for the bankruptcy court to apply the five factors.
To apply the five factors and then move on to enforce.
And then move on, if they're applicable, then move on to the merits of the
So you also appealed the denial of confirmation of the Chapter 13 plan, yes?
Yes.
But that wasn't a final order, was it? Hasn't the Eighth Circuit spoken several
times? No. We appealed only the adversary. You're correct, Judge Sirmer, that we would have to appeal the confirmation of a second plan in that case.
All we're asked to do, in your view, is to reinstate your adversary proceeding by remanding the 522 complaint.
Right, to be heard on whether or not the debtor has standing to make you're right. It's a fact determination of whether or not these five factors would in fact do.
Which is the trial court's job, not ours.
Correct.
Thank you.
And so, just out of curiosity, where's the plan while all this is happening?
It's not confirmed. Well, we confirmed a plan. It remained unconfirmed. This case has it was filed, I think, originally August.
So if you
or
succeed
April
here,
16th.
You'll amend your plan.
Correct.
If the adversary comes out the way you anticipate it will.
Correct. Otherwise, he'll probably convert it because he lacks funds to pay off.
Then there's even more pressure on us.
Right now, there is a confirmed plan that complies with Judge Shadeen's order and makes nominal payments to the liens.
Right, but you'll have fewer payments if we remand it and you succeed at the trial.
Correct.
Okay.
The debtor has been making payments on this for about 16 months right now. It was originally a Judge Dreher case and passed away. It's been delayed.
So there's a confirmed plan that does not avoid this lien. So
correct. There's a confirmed plan that doesn't avoid this lien.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The Chapter 13 trustee asked us to propose a plan in the interim while we waited for this appeal to propose a plan which provided at least some nominal payments for this lien and then reserve the right to file a second.
Okay, so there is a reservation of rights in that plan? Okay.
And so if you ended up amending, this would, if it were to turn out the way you wanted in the adversary, then Brevik Law Firm would be an unsecured creditor, and I'm assuming unsecured creditors are getting nothing under your plan?
Well, his lien is good against several other pieces of property.
Right, some of which have been liquidated, I think.
Yeah, some of which have been surrendered to him. Okay. And then the plan also provides to pay him, you know, make 5 years of payments for him to keep a minivan. Okay. And then there is a nominal sum for the unsecured creditors.
Anything else?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
You are excused.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.